The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
So fill your plate and fill your drink and fill this house with family. The kind of love that all these years can't wash away. Cause the older that I get, I see the life is short and bittersweet. Thank God for this Thanksgiving Day.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah. Great tune, huh? It's Ben Rector. Happy Thanksgiving. It's that time of year, right? And it's funny, we focus one day a year on giving thanks, you know, as a day named after it. But we should do it every day. And give God thanks for everything in your life. You know, I as an American, we, gosh, we're blessed. You know, I was invited in the coming year, and I'm discerning whether or not I'm going to do this or not, to go to some of the outskirts of the DR, the Dominican Republic. I've traveled the planet, right? I've been all over the place. I've been to Africa where I've seen abject poverty and real hunger. But one of the worst places I've ever been was Haiti. It's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And I remember I had to go down with a bunch of other journalists and broadcasters, and there were like five of us in a room. You know, we slept with mosquito nets. They shared a joint bathroom with the women that were on the trip. The food that you were about to eat, made by the locals, looked like you were going to be sick as a dog when you're done. I mean, it was really a rough experience. And we had it good compared to others. In Africa, when certain people have come back to the States, and they go into our grocery stores and they see the cornucopia of food, the plethora of food on our shelves, they're amazed. They're actually stunned by what they see, because getting water or getting food is a difficult thing. So this Thanksgiving, I know the price of Thanksgiving has gone up, but as you look around your table and you're in a nice warm environment, you got great food, maybe you have family, give God thanks. You know, my wife and I, our heater, supposedly new or relatively new, right? It went out on me, you know, just before last weekend. So for about 2 or 3 days, and it was pretty cold. I had no heat. We have two heating units in the house. One's upstairs, one's on the lower level, right? So it's zoned. The one where we are living was out. And I'm telling you, it was absolutely freezing. The insulation in this house, we recently moved. It probably is so terrible. We were so cold. And I think about the people in the Ukraine who just lost all their power. Right? From these missile strikes from Russia. People who don't have heat, who don't have food, who don't have warm water or running water for that fact. It just gave me that perspective to be thankful for God for what I had. So I had to bite the bullet for a day or two till the guy came out and fixed the heater. And now it's warm and balmy in the Mariani home once again. And my wife's in the kitchen, you know, making some incredible feast. And life's good for Drew. It's good to be Drew today, right? You know, food is really one of those great pleasures of life, isn't it? It's one of the great blessings of life. Father Rocky and I had lunch together today. We're sitting in kind of our eating area with the rest of our colleagues here. And he says, you know, food, it's not just about food. The meal's not about, it's really about the fellowship, right? It's about the people that you spend time with. So as you celebrate Thanksgiving, I know it centers around food. And we're talking turkey and cranberry and all this other stuff. There's going to be football games. You're going to probably go to church. You know, there's lots going on. Some people might even be bothered by, let's say, feasting, given the state of the world. I think fasting is important. We talked about the proclamations of Abraham Lincoln. You ought to read the Thanksgiving Proclamation by George Washington. You take a look at a lot of our founding fathers. Give thanks. Also, a little sacrifice is good. A little moderation doesn't hurt. But, you know, as Catholics recognize that feasts can be appropriate at certain times, right? Look at the Old Testament. You know, feasting among the rich pagans was very commonplace, but God commanded that every year at Passover, every single person of those 12 tribes of Israel, they were to participate in the feast of Passover. David, when he successfully brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, he gave everyone who was there a loaf of bread and he a cut of roast meat and raisin cake, scripture tells you, right? Of course, what did Christ give us? And what does Eucharist mean? Eucharist means, you know what it means, right? Thanksgiving. What did Jesus do? He gave us his body. He gave us his blood. That is the ultimate feast. It's a divine feast. And there are people who survive simply on the Eucharist. This might be new to you. I want to write a book on the Eucharist so bad. I keep telling Maggie I'm working on it, but I have not gotten done. One of these elements of the book is going to be on these people who have lived on the Eucharist literally for years, eating no other food, none. They were sustained physically by the bread of life, by the Eucharist. I mean, it's incredible stuff. Pray for me, okay, that I can get this book done. But look, the rest of us still need to eat earthly food. We're not at that level of sanctity. But there's something else I think about eating together. It's that bond that Father was talking about. It builds the familial bond, friends. I think it's awesome. But as Catholics, we need to continually work on building those human bonds, not just on these feast days, but on ordinary days as well. I'm joined today by somebody who understands this pretty well. She's a convert to Catholicism. Her name is Alexandra Greeley, and she spent her life working in the food world. She was a cookbook author, a restaurant reviewer. She's a trained chef. And when she became Catholic, it kind of shaped her passion for food and forged a pathway to God through food and faith and volunteer work at her parish. And she's offered cooking classes featuring the saints and started actually an organic garden to help feed the poor. It's pretty cool. So her newest cookbook is just out from Tan Books. Tan's doing some incredible work. And I have an opportunity to take a look at it right now. And I think you're going to love it. A lot of Maggie and I were just talking about it. We were saying some of the authors, contributors in this thing, they were regulars who've been on the show many, many times. So the book is called Catholics in the Kitchen. So check it out. Catholics in the Kitchen. And you can check it out at Tan Books. I'm sure it's probably tanbooks.com. It's a delight to have Alexandra with me today. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, Alexandra.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, and thank you for inviting me to join you.
Well, it's great to have you here. So, hey, let's talk a little bit about the holiday itself. You say that our relationship with food in your book has been compromised. What do you mean by that? Explain that a little bit, and maybe we could talk about the importance of food uniting us and the importance of faith in the kitchen.
Well, because without food, of course, that God gave us, we would not survive. So there's a strong connection between food and faith. And, of course, a lot of people may not even believe that there is God or they have any belief in religion at all. But without food, none of us would survive. So we should always thank God for providing us with the substance that we have to keep us going and to thank our farmers for growing the food that we eat. I think that's just such a great connection between food and faith. It's hard to ignore that.
We take it for granted, don't we, the abundance that we have here? Yeah, you know.
We do, which is sad, because I think unless you go out to rural America and see how, you know, farmers are growing the crops that you eat and growing the animals that you end up eating, you don't understand the connection between the earth and God and food and faith, and you should be thankful that we are here to survive. I don't understand why people don't understand that. So that's why I've always worked so hard as a Catholic to make that connection between food and faith. That, to me, is just a major connection in life, food and faith.
Yeah.
When I had the farmer's market at St. Veronica before the pandemic, we had it in the parking lot, and we offered tours into the church, because it was right facing the church, so that people could see the connection between food and faith. It's such an obvious connection, which I'm sorry so many people don't understand.
That's a great way to evangelize. So you have this food market. You know, this beautiful church. Hey, you want to take a tour? A lot of people have never been in a Catholic church are probably pretty curious. And they're like, sure, why not? What was the reaction to the people who went through those tours?
I think they were really amazed. It was, of course, they bought food, but we had a parishioner who offered to take people through the church itself. I was out there with the farmers. I wasn't taking a tour, but people were very impressed. And it was also when I had the cooking classes there, there were none of the people who taught the classes were parishioners, and the people who took the classes were. But I invited food people from all around the embassies and the consulates in the D.C. area, and they, were able to go into the church. The priest came and talked to us after each meal that we cooked. It was a wonderful way to make that connection between food and faith. That's really what it was about.
So,
food and faith.
So you know, Catholics in the Kitchen. Just give me a snapshot of give our listeners really a snapshot of what the book's all about. Maggie and I had a chance to go through it. What are you trying to achieve here, and how will it benefit those who are listening?
I think that when people see that people who are involved in Catholicism are all across the country, either as book writers, as farmers, as priests, as people who do radio programs, they see the connection between how you can be involved in the food world and be a passionate Catholic. And I spoke to so many wonderful. I also write for the National Catholic Register, and I've interviewed hundreds of people who are Catholics and who cook. And it's impressive to see how the connection they have made between food and faith. I mean, it's such an obvious connection. But so in the book, I obviously couldn't feature all of them, but those who were in the book, my editor gave me permission to use them as a profiles for the cookbook. And, you know, it's just wonderful to see how they're connected to faith.
Hey, one other thing I think about at this time of year is something that we don't always look at, and that's the sin of gluttony. I don't think we pay enough attention to that because, you know, there is some real excess. You sit down, and I often say, you know, one of the things that I've got to work on is greater discipline, and it's called portion control, right? It's like you sit down, you know, you can always go back for a second, but the problem is sometimes you serve yourself a nice big helping of something. You're like, oh, that's so good. I want more. You don't really need it, but you go back and you eat more. And if there's any day on the calendar that people are going to cross the border into excess, it's probably Thanksgiving. Do we pay enough attention to the sin of gluttony? I mean, how do you view that?
No, I don't think people pay attention to the sin of gluttony. I think, well, gluttony can take its form in many ways besides overeating. It's overdoing other unproductive acts that are sort of gluttonous of the flesh. Gluttony of the flesh is many different ways of treating yourself to things that are not really in God's will. But when it comes to food, I think people should really understand the discipline that God has given us to curb our appetite and not overeat and not over ruin the body by overeating.
You know,
I think
it.
That's really a learn.
I get it. My guest today is Alexandra Greeley. Just wrote a new book. If you want to join us, you can dial in 888-914-9149. We're talking about Catholics in the kitchen. It is Thanksgiving, right? And I always love to take a God angle on some of this stuff. Robert's in New York, New York. Hey, Robert, good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'll try to be brief. I'm listening to your conversation, and I certainly agree with your caller, with the woman and you, that gratitude is extremely important, especially for the abundance that we have. Yeah. But I'm wondering how we balance that with an awareness of the problems in our society, such as, you know, we always talk about it, disregard for the sanctity of life, hyper-individualism, lack of community. Mm-hmm. And sometimes these are things that even poor societies do have. You know, sometimes we see, sometimes I see pictures of Africans, even if they're so hungry, sometimes they seem happier than we are. So I'm just wondering how we balance the sense of gratitude with also the sense of that we still have problems.
Yeah.
Without sounding ungrateful.
No, I get it, Robert. Good question. And maybe, Alexander, you can address it in terms of how, you know, bringing people together to cook, to eat, it almost helps us in some respects. I don't think they say tune out the worries of the world because they are there, but it is almost an oasis. It is a time of reprieve from what can be an overwhelming, you know, just a din of noise and, you know, chaos in the world at large.
Well, certainly with the cooking classes, bringing people in from, as I said, different embassies and consulates here, and bringing in the parishioners and other people who are invited to join the class, they could really connect with each other while they were cooking. It was a great way to, you know, share ingredients, share thoughts, share recipes, share their culture, share their background, and then to have the priest come and talk to them afterwards and to say, it was a wonderful way to make that connection between each other and of course, with food.
Hey, I only have a few minutes, Alexandra. Just some final thoughts. I know this new cookbook has compiled recipes for people in many different walks of life and from different cultures. Is there a common thread that can be found running through them that, you know, maybe someone says, hey, I've got a lot of cookbooks, but they'll find real value in this one?
They're solid Catholicism. Every person I interviewed was devoutly Catholic. Devoutly believed in God and devoutly believed that God gave us the food to survive. And it was a wonderful way to make that connection between food and faith. I mean, even though I've done the farmer's market there, I had, you know, cooking classes, whatever else, to have these people talk so strongly about thanking God for what they have, how he's kept them alive. Yeah. It was a wonderful way to make that connection between food and faith. It really, it's, Very inspiring people.
Well, I love it. I hope you do really well with your book. The book's entitled Catholics in the Kitchen. The author, Alexandra Greeley. Hey, I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I'm sure your family's going to be blessed. I know you're trained as a chef, so what a gift God has given you, huh?
I've been very blessed. You have no idea.
I love
food.
It.
I love. Well, thank you so much for inviting me to join you, and I hope you all have a happy Thanksgiving too.
Thank you.
And eat great food.
Amen to that. We'll talk again soon. Thank you, Alexandra. It's about 18 minutes after the hour, and I'm up against the clock. I'm going to take a short break here in just a quick second. When we come back, I do want to share with you a very compelling story. I'm thinking of the right word to describe this regarding a Thanksgiving Day encounter. Maybe you've had one. Love to hear from you. I'm going to open the phones too, and we can talk about everything from how you keep peace at the Thanksgiving Day table to what your favorite food is. I'll even share some interesting turkey trivia that'll make you the center of the conversation. Don't go away.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ribs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rat.
You name it.
Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Beans, greens, potatoes,
yeah, Maggie, you found my wedding song. No, I'm kidding. I hope my wife's not listening. I am just kidding. Listen to that. Where'd you find that?
It's a meme online.
That's hilarious.
Greens, beans, tomatoes, potatoes.
It's Thanksgiving, right? That's funny. That's a great tune. Oh boy, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? You're going to your aunt's, your mom's. Where are you going? You're engaged now. Just so everybody knows, Maggie was proposed to.
I am, yeah.
And so now she's entering the world of those of us that have those relationships where you got a your family just doubles.
Dual holiday, yeah. His birthday actually is tomorrow.
My mother always felt she never got enough time.
Oh.
Yeah, you spent more time there. I mean, oh. Come on, Mom.
Don't do me like that.
No, it's so funny. I mean, she wanted to sit down to the minute. It was so funny. So you'll encounter that, especially if you have kids.
Yep.
Then things
everybody
are really
wants to
change.
See the kids, yeah.
Especially as little babies will be
cute.
Of course. So Joseph and you are going to go to your mom's first or
his family tomorrow because it's his birthday tomorrow.
Oh, really? How interesting.
So we're going to hang with them on Thanksgiving. Because he's a turkey baby.
Was he born on Thanksgiving or no?
I think so.
Wow, how interesting.
Yeah. And so it only lands on Thanksgiving. The 24th only lands there every so often.
Right.
But then Friday we're going to head up to Wisconsin to see my folks.
That's great. Well,
yeah.
It's going to be fun. Ask you a question here. I want to share a story coming up here about a cool Thanksgiving Day, you know, miracle that I heard. But before I do, you and I were talking a little bit just about keeping peace at the table. And I'll open the phones. I'd love to get your take too. So feel free to call in at 888-914-9149. I was sharing with Maggie that, you know, Thanksgiving could be one of those times where she showed me this interesting little video that was online about Thanksgiving and what politics could do to a family, right? And it really is true. I mean, Thanksgiving, there might be some wine or beer drinking or whiskey or whatever you love, right? So alcohol always exacerbates things. And then when you sit down with people, people are tired. They've traveled. Maybe they were up late getting dinner ready. Maybe they're just stressed out by the economy. Who knows, right? And tensions flare. And sometimes when an issue like religion or politics comes up, there is a real division. And you know, I think more than anything, I've seen this in the world of politics. I had a friend whose uncle was like a diehard conservative. He was at the time a huge Rush Limbaugh fan, and you know, everything was about whoever was, you know, in the Republican Party at that time. Meanwhile, his nephew was a union guy and a diehard Democrat, right? And I was young and probably very immature at the time. And I would throw fuel in the fire. I would say something political, right? And then get up to get a drink or leave.
No.
Next thing you know.
Oh, no.
There's a... You know, there's the volume is increased in the room. Those guys are going at it. My wife's like, do not talk politics. Do not do that. So I've learned that I don't do it anymore, but boy, they would go at it. I mean, you would think that they were mortal enemies, right? And they share the same DNA. It's crazy. It's just, it's insane that that happens at the party. So my question to you is, how do you keep peace? Do you set rules where there's no political talk? Do you allow it to happen? Do people discuss it in a sane and rational way? Is it just bad policy? What are the other things at Thanksgiving you don't permit? You know, your in-laws coming over, your son and daughter coming over and sleeping together, and even though they're cohabitating, you know, do you give them a pass on that? I mean, what happens in your house? Or what happens at your place when it comes to the Thanksgiving table?
Good questions, Drew. I think, you know, there's always that rule that, like, when you're under someone else's roof, you should honor and respect their rules of the house. I mean, it's kind of a spiritual thing. Yep. But even if you weren't, you know, a religious person, it's a respectful thing to be like, I mean, even if you were cohabitating or this or that, I mean, I would think, you know, it's like, I should respect my father or my mother, whoever's house this is, that, you know, I'll follow their rules while I'm here. I tend to think that it's a good rule that you should have conversations. Yep. You should have open conversations with your family, but the dinner table itself is a sacred space. Yep. And so you should be wary if, you know, someone is taking the floor too much and everyone else is silent, or, you know, this or that. There's like rules at play that you should have an open space.
I think it's a good idea to say, hey, I'm going to send an email out to everybody and say, no politics. Should you tell your guests, love having you, it's probably your nieces, your nephews, your sons, your daughters, your cousins, whoever, hey, looking forward to having you, but let's all kind of make an agreement that we're not going to talk politics. We're not going to talk, I don't know, religion. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if people do that or not. We've never really done it.
You've broken the rules.
You're out of here.
They start talking about Trump and you're like, stop.
It's funny. I don't know what you do in your house or if you've ran into this. I'll take a few of your calls in a minute at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Part of the problem with the holidays too, Maggie, is that when family comes to visit, and I had to have a conversation with a niece and of mine, and she was cohabitating with her future husband. Mm-hmm. They were, I think, engaged, and they had moved in to save money. Mm-hmm. And they came to our house to spend the night for the holiday or whatever. And it's really now suddenly awkward because they're living in this lifestyle, right? Mm-hmm. What do you do? So I just had to pull her aside and say, hey, I love you. But here's the deal, you know, in my home, I sent bad message to the rest of my children, and you know how I feel about my faith. So, you know, if you guys can share different rooms, I'd appreciate that.
What did she say? What was her response?
She goes, no, Uncle Drew, I totally understand. I totally understand.
See?
And it was not a big deal. I mean, she was very respectful about the whole thing. It was not a big deal at all.
I think probably deep down, she really was grateful that you said that.
Maybe.
I don't know.
They're living together, though. I mean, they were in the same house. They had their own apartment. But
maybe her own father has never said something like that to her.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, you're probably right. But, you know, it's just like, I don't know. I think, you know, we get worried about, oh, you know, we're going to start a fight. What are my kids going to say? What are they going to do? I don't have enough bedrooms. They don't sleep together. It's like, to your point where you said, you know, every home, you know, kind of has its own rules and. You know, it's the easy out to say, oh, go ahead, you know, what the heck. But I think you communicate a message, you plant a seed when you say to the person, you know what, you know how I feel, you know, about this. And when you're married, it's fine. But right now, I just can't have it. And you just do it in a kind way, I think. You know, I don't want confrontation. I don't want it to argue over whether or not, you know, they're going to be in the same bed. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are going to face that over Christmas and over the other holidays, you know, and it becomes commonplace. You know, a friend of mine once said that all relationships are like countries. They all have their own currency and their own set of rules and their own borders, you know, and I thought that's really true. You know, you go to another country, maybe there's a different language, there's a different border.
They value different things.
So when you look at different couples, everybody has their own set of rules. Like, I have a very traditional marriage, you know, I'm kind of the man, my wife's kind of the woman in the relationship. We have different roles. The kids say, yes, we're very much in love. I mean, it's just, it works for us, that dynamic. My wife was very fortunate to not have to work. She was able to stay home and raise the kids, which I was so grateful for because, and believe me, it wasn't always easy. There were times we struggled early in the relationship to make that happen. But I think the benefits of it are longer. But other relationships I know where people have separate bank accounts or, you know, the guy stays home and the wife works or, you know, one person cooks and the other doesn't, or they both share the duties or, sure. You know, it's, so every country has its own borders and its own rules. So I always thought that was pretty interesting. And their own language, really, too, because they communicate in different ways. You'll learn that. You're about to create your own country. Right?
Oh, my gosh.
The country of Carosa. Right? Or how do you mix your name? Like, my wife's name's Kathy. My name's Drew. What would we be? Crew? Yeah, crew. Kathy and Drew, right? Like Brangelina?
Mo?
Or Maggie and Joe. Or I could be Daffy. That doesn't really work, does it? Drathy.
Jaggy.
Crew. So what would you, your Maggie and Joe, right?
Yeah. Mo, I don't know. Jaggy.
M. Joe, I don't know. Anyway, well, you're going to have fun. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving with the family.
What are you guys doing?
All my kids are coming in. I picked up my daughter from Houston the other day, and we ended up, I had to fight traffic to get her, and she's back. My wife's loving it. Kathy's cooking right now. And, you know, it's like, it's not like we used to have a lot of friends come over and family, and so it's going to be the family. But my wife cooks like you haven't. There's an army coming. And I said to her, I said, what are you doing? We don't need five desserts. Well, I'm going to make pizzelles. I'm making pumpkin pie. I'm making pumpkin ice cream. I'm making this. I'm making that.
Aww.
And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, stop.
It's a good life.
But her turkey is killer, too. Oh, her turkey is killer.
Love it.
So some good stuff. I mean, that's part of the problem. Too good of a cook. I love it. You know, I like, when I was living on the East Coast, there's a place called Capriati's. I think it's now in Chicago, too. But it started in the outskirts of Wilmington, Delaware. I think like in Claymont or somewhere in that area, Wilmington or one of those areas. And what they would have on their menu was a, what they called a bobby. And it was a turkey sandwich, a long roll, great roll, right? But they'd have the roasted turkey like you're going to have at Thanksgiving. And then they would layer it with cranberry and stuffing. And if you want a mayo, you could put that on there too. I'm telling you, this is a killer sandwich. If you've never had a bobby, save a little turkey, save a little stuffing, save a little cranberry. Maybe you're not a cranberry fan. I'm telling you, you need it on the sandwich. It is an absolute killer sandwich. So
that sounds wonderful.
I like the post-Thanksgiving stuff afterwards.
Oh, yeah. It's always better.
What's the strangest thing on your menu?
Strangest thing?
Your parents make.
Oh,
maybe gosh. It's not strange to you.
I don't think. I think the best thing on the menu is always green bean casserole. I really like green bean casserole, but you have to make it with fresh green beans or frozen green beans. I don't know why everybody uses those like mushy.
That's
canned.
Why people hate them.
Yeah. Yeah,
you need fresh
stuff. But you make it with the fresh stuff, and it's incredible.
So I asked, you know, those who were listening to us 1 year. I said, "Tell me about your stuffing." You know, is it stuffing or what's the other word for it? If it's not
dressing.
Stuffing, dressing. What is there a difference?
I think stuffing is if you put it in the bird.
Okay, and dressing, you cook it separately.
Yeah, I think.
Interesting. See, now I'll say one of my favorite stuffings, if that's what it is oyster stuffing.
Oh.
You know, some people hate oysters and they might think that's the grossest thing in the world.
Sure.
But my mother used to get, you know, fresh oysters, they'd be shucked, and then she'd mix it in or make it with the stuffing. And, you know, the salt, the brine from that, cooked with that stuffing, unbelievable.
That sounds great.
Absolutely.
Did it have,
incredible.
Like, sausage in it, too? Or did it just...
I think it did. It may have had a little bit of sausage for other flavor and onion nice. And whatever. Nice. I don't know. I don't do the cooking. I hate to say that. But I like to compliment a lot. This was great.
Your words of affirmation guy.
Yeah, I'm all about positivity. You're a great cook.
That's so awesome.
That's hilarious. So if you want to sound off, you can join me too. Share your story. I mean, what's in your stuffing? What's the strangest thing on your table? I mean, some people have blood sausage or something really weird. I shouldn't say that because some people may just absolutely love that. You can give us a call, 888-914-9149. I'm going to open the phones too. How do you keep peace at the table too? Do you have certain rules? What do you do in your household? How do you celebrate Thanksgiving? And what about Black Friday too? Do you go shopping afterwards. You know, things have changed. I know it was a tradition for a lot of people to go the next day or whenever, but now Black Friday started so early, hasn't it? You know, the day after Thanksgiving has come to be known as Black Friday. I think the day's dying a little bit. One of the reasons given for it is that retailers, right, they supposedly start running these, they started running in the black. This is kind of the backstory, the history to it. From there until the end of the year, because people all start going out, their numbers go up, sales are increasing. And I think we've become accustomed to, I don't know, over the last 20 years, these major deals. Mike Kendall, our chief, our executive vice president of programming, was in the studio with us here, Maggie, right before the show, and he was saying, wishing me happy Thanksgiving. And he says, oh, so what's going on? What's the toy of the year this year? You know, what's the special item that's out there? And I'm like, I don't know. He says, there's no special toy or sale or item. I said, I don't know. I'll have to ask, you know, those who listen. I don't know. Is there something that's hot this year? I don't know anything about it, right? But he says, because, you know, you always see this video of people outside of a Walmart door, right? And then the second it opens, people are being punched and they're being trotted on and there's absolute chaos. I kind of think COVID might have changed things. Before COVID, people weren't as open to shopping online. They were concerned about their credit card or whatever, right? I think it's radically changed the way things are happening. So I don't know if these Black Friday deals, these Black Friday sales, we're going to see the massive amounts of people running to the brick and mortar. You can still get them from the comfort of your couch, but we've become accustomed to people standing outside of doors at 5 a.m, right? And these fights breaking out. But you're also seeing now retailers opening their doors earlier, right? It's Thanksgiving night, barely giving employees time to eat. And this was an issue that a lot of people have too. Should we have our stores in this country closed on Thanksgiving Day? Should it be a day for people to give thanks, to go home, to spend time with their spouse or their children or their family? Right? You know, a lot of stores are like, no, you got to work. It's mandatory. You know, you're working this holiday. And now as a result, people can't be with family. I know some people have to, but that's, you know, things have started to change. I think we're seeing stores like Walmart and Target. They're staying closed on Thanksgiving Day. And it goes back to my point. Why? They're not going to do it because they care about you. The bottom line is about money, really. I think they're seeing that there's as much money being generated online and maybe the optics of this are better saying, hey, we care about our employees and they can go home. But Walmart and Target, I want to applaud them at least for not being open on Thanksgiving Day, for not opening until the morning. So congratulations. I think that's good. Also, you know, we're seeing all kinds of retailers offering Black Friday discounts, you know, earlier in the month. A lot of people were buying online a lot more. And last year, retail sales, they were almost $5 trillion worldwide. $5 trillion. One analyst believes this year could go above $5.5 trillion. So the numbers continue to go up. We could talk inflation as well. But let me go to the phones. I'll grab a couple quick calls here for you, too. If you want to get in, 888-914-9149. Brittany is listening to us in Arizona. Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Drew. Just wanted to comment on the strange family traditions and foods.
Yeah, what's on your table?
My family, well, this was from my youth, but my family is Hungarian, Slovak, Polish, and German, and we would have the vast array of sausages, including those blood sausages, all handmade by my great aunt.
Now, let me stop you on that point. Do you actually like a blood sausage?
It wasn't my favorite.
And explain what it is. To those who don't know what it is, why don't you explain it to everyone?
Well, it did have the blood of the animal.
Yeah, right.
And it was freshly ground up by my great aunt. She would even make her own casings.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Yeah, well, you know,
it was pretty cool.
Your heritage. I mean, there's some good sausage on your table, I bet. But what else did you have? So, blood sausage was in the mix.
In addition to those, before everything started for appetizers, we'd have a traditional relish tray, and we would have various types of pickles, black olives, raw radishes, and raw green onions.
That sounds great.
So lots of spicy.
Yeah, I'm loving that. I can dig that. I can eat that. That sounds pretty good. Well, that sounds fun. Hey, were there traditional desserts? Like, I'm not a big pumpkin pie guy, but I don't mind pumpkin ice cream or something else.
Yeah, there was pumpkin, there was apple, and then my grandmother would make a really delicious dessert. It was a combination, like a walnut-type crust, and it was a mixture of, like, chocolate pudding and cream cheese and whipped cream, Cool Whip.
Well, sounds good. I'm getting hungry already.
I know. So we carry some of those things on, but not all of them.
That's great. You got to create your own traditions too. I'd leave the blood sausage off. I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of it. But, you know, I guess you get used to it.
I'm done with the kishka now. So.
Hey, Brittany, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for sharing. Love it. All right. Hey, let me bring Jim in. Jim, by the way, is the producer for Cal Clark Show and for Timory Show. And you're there on the Rosary too at night, right, Jim?
That's right.
Listen to that voice, too. He should be doing voiceovers for the show.
That's right.
I love your voice. I say it every time you're on.
Oh, thanks.
Those mics make you sound great. He really has a very high-pitched tone when he's not on a microphone. And I'm kidding you there, too. So what's your story?
Oh, well, I was just talking with Maggie. And, yeah, my wife was telling me that when she first moved to St. Louis, which is where I'm originally from, she went to a friend's house for Thanksgiving. They were raving about this dish and onions and butter and breadcrumbs, and that's what it was. But it was just like soggy butter, onions, and actually, though, I have to
butter and onion. You can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong with it.
But it's like cinnamon and sugar. It's like
an audible here because my favorite memory, and it wasn't Thanksgiving, but you know that can of cranberry sauce.
Yeah, sure.
So we had that and sliced up, and I was being silly. I was being goofy, and I was playing with it. And my dad took the thing and just put it all over my face.
That's horrible.
I was shocked, but I was like, that is the coolest thing my dad ever did.
Oh, you loved it.
Not at the time.
He was messing around or he was mad at you?
He was just dead tired. He was working two jobs. Get off. And he was done. Good times.
I had a cousin like that. He was at a table and his dad took the soup was cold or something like that, but he dumped it on his head. I thought it's such a horrible memory. I mean, it's almost traumatic, you know.
No, you
seem to have taken it pretty well.
Oh yeah, my dad was a jokester anyway, and I knew he was dead tired. My mom was, you know,
my brother in law would say to my kids when they were little, he'd have some whipped cream on his ice cream. So I say, does this smell? And they'd lean over, tap the back of their head, whipped cream all over their nose.
That's the uncle, right?
Hey Jim, thanks. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jim.
Good to have you here with us. All right, 888-914-9149. I'll go back to the phones. We'll take a few more calls in a second. And just talking Thanksgiving stuff. I do want to share with you though a great story I heard about a Thanksgiving Day miracle too coming up. But I'm going to take a break. Before I do, I hope you're making it too. And we talk a lot about this. I know that it can be very difficult financially. There, I was reading a report on a financial paper earlier this morning that 60% of Americans are now living paycheck to paycheck, and that's pretty rough. So if you can help somebody, I would encourage you to do that. Inflation is really eating away at people's wages, and that's up 4% from last year. Real wage growth has gone down 3% because of how high prices have gone, and analysts right now are expecting that people just aren't going to buy as much, and they're going to buy cheaper, and they're going to buy generic products rather than brand names. So I don't know how this is impacting you, but it made me think, you know, we've been blessed with so much. If you can give to a food pantry, if you can maybe volunteer at a homeless shelter tomorrow, what a great thing to do. It's a beautiful work of mercy. But you also never know when you entertain strangers, do you? And angels, you know, scripture tells us, I think it's Hebrews that says that. You never know when you entertain angels. You never know when you help somebody like that, whether you're going to be encountering God, you know, or Jesus himself. Faustina had that encounter serving the poor. When I come back, I'll share this story with you. I can take a few more of your calls, and maybe I'll share with you a traumatic little story I had as a little boy during Thanksgiving, trying to do something nice. All right, be right back.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Connected. Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Because the older that I get, I see life short and bittersweet. Thank God for this Thanksgiving Day.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, well, happy Thanksgiving to you. Love to hang out at your Thanksgiving table. It'll be kind of fun. We're talking Thanksgiving Day food. I think I'll grab maybe one more call here, too, because I still want to share some other stuff with you today. Quick programming note, though. If you happen to live in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and this might be a shock to the rest of the country, Sunday Mass obligation is back in effect on November 26th and 27th, the first Sunday of Advent. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But, you know, and I'm not here to judge. I'm just reminding you, if you think, oh, I could sit at home and you know, grab my coffee and celebrate Mass from the couch or from the bed, the restoration of the obligation to return to church in the Archdiocese of Chicago now comes more than about a year and a half after other dioceses in other parts of the U.S. began their dispensation. And, you know, is Cardinal Supich is the shepherd there, and, you know, we defer, of course, to his guidance and his wisdom in that. But some dioceses decided to, you know, lift their dispensation more than about a year after you know, some of the other dioceses have already done this. So, you know, if there may be others out there, I don't know, but I just want to make you aware, if you're in that diocese, I just saw the report the other day, if you're in Chicago, now that Sunday obligation is back in effect. All right. Let me go to Lisa in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, very quickly. I love the name of that town, Bethlehem, PA. Hey, Lisa, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. How are you? Thanks
good.
For taking the call.
Lisa, what's Christmas
yes,
like in Bethlehem?
Christmas City.
Yeah, what's it like? Do you have a special celebration?
It's great. It's great. I came back from New York, and it's just great being home again.
That's a big steel. Yes, it's a big steel company, right? Big steel mill. Because
oh, yeah.
A buddy of mine used to work for the steel industry, and I remember Bethlehem was big. So. Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, definitely. And now they converted it. It's called quote Steel Stacks. It's great,
cool.
Artsy area with
wow.
bands and everything.
Check
we have Music Fest here, great bands, yeah. But anyway, we have a tradition for Thanksgiving, and my sister Connie actually turned me on to you.
Oh, good.
Relevant Radio, game changer. Yeah, she's wonderful.
Yay, Connie.
Halukis. We have stuffed cabbage. We're Polish, Czech, like piggyback for the other caller.
Yeah.
We have stuffed cabbage, which is halukis and pierogies. So I actually prefer that to turkey. Yeah.
Well, I know like pierogies, right? Pierogies are great.
You know pierogies.
But what's
yeah,
a halogi?
Yeah.
I never heard of a halogi.
Halukki is like a it's almost like halukki. It's a stuffed cabbage.
Wow.
And they're just fabulous.
Wow.
Yeah, my mother made them all the time. So my sisters know how to make them. I don't know how to make them. But also kiffles is a fun dessert. It's like a stuffed nut tossie with nuts inside.
Oh, that sounds
put,
great.
Like, yeah, really delicious. But yeah, Thanksgiving to all of you. Thanks.
What's the crepe that you have? Isn't there like a Polish crepe or something? Do you have that as well? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we do have that. Yeah. Yeah, it is like a Polish crepe.
I forget the name.
Good
Polish girl like you? Come on, Lisa.
My dad is 92 now, so
wow.
He's going to be here too. I'm finally having it at my house.
That's great.
Oh, my God. God, I can't. They're going to kill me for fitting
it's okay.
Names.
Hey,
but
thank
you so much, Drew. God bless you guys for all you do.
Lisa, tell Connie happy Thanksgiving from me, okay? I appreciate it.
I'm listening.
No, I love it. No, I love
will.
It, Connie. Way
thank
to go.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. And I love that because, you know, Connie turned Lisa on. Lisa can turn somebody else on to Relevant. I think it's a great way to evangelize. I think about it all the time. I mean, you know, not everybody turns on an AM radio. We are on FM stations, AM stations. We're on apps. But, you know, how many people don't even know Relevant Radio exists? I mean, you can go to your Catholic church. There's a lot of people who don't know Relevant Radio's out there. And you take a look at the apologetics. You take a look at the catechesis. You take a look at the news and issues. You take a look at the spiritual direction. You take a look at what Relevant offers. It's really unique. I suggest you do this once a month, maybe once a week if you could. Drop a hint. Tell somebody, oh, I heard a great conversation. I was listening to this guy the other day. And, oh, yeah, so you check him out. He's on 9:50 a.m. or 10:12, you know, 10:20 or, you know, whatever signal we're on, wherever we are, 101 FM. You know, whatever the signal is, get him plugged in or tell him about the mobile app. You really change the trajectory of somebody's life, and it's such a great way. Such a great way to evangelize. Let me share a story with you before I run out of time, because I think this is kind of a cool one, especially this time of year. It's kind of a Thanksgiving Day story, and it harkens back a couple decades ago. The year was 1969. There was a girl named Heidi Olson. She just went through a divorce, and you know how uncommon divorce was back then. So she was relocated to a very modest one-bedroom apartment. She had two kids, two sons, and money was really tight. Right, she was not the breadwinner in the home, and she worked in a doctor's office. And that Thanksgiving morning, she woke up, she realized that she and her son, they had nowhere to go, and no one invited them over, and worse, she had no money even to buy food. So she was broke, and no husband in her life anymore, and she didn't know what she was going to do for Thanksgiving. Literally, she had nothing, no food. She had three hot dogs in her refrigerator, she said. Right, three hot dogs. Doesn't make for a great Christmas or a great Thanksgiving. So what she wondered is, you know, what did I get myself into? How did I get here? You know, I never thought I would be like this. Two kids and no money. And how am I going to get myself out? She said. And she was in this moment of despair. And the only plan she could conjure up for the day was a day at a park, you know, with those hot dogs, right? And she said, I'm going to take these hot dogs. I'm going to go to the park. Unfortunately, heading back from the park, she remember, you know, her son saying, we're so hungry, Mom. We are just so hungry. What are we going to have for dinner? And if you're a parent, you know, no parent ever wants to hear their kid cry in hunger. You know, they're so hungry. So as she said she never felt so alone. Yeah, and what a desperate feeling when you have nothing and you can't provide for your own children. It's one of the worst feelings in the world. And she started up the stairs. She was going to this new one-bedroom apartment that she had. I mean, it's a humble little place. It wasn't the best, you know, apartment complex. But she didn't know what she was going to do. I guess she'd be there with her boys. And then something astounding happened to her. A little old lady came out of the first floor apartment and she says, honey, I'm cooking Thanksgiving dinner for you. Come on, bring the boys in. And, you know, she thought, well, maybe this lady saw us. Maybe she knew that we were coming in the apartment. I don't know. Maybe she's just a lonely old lady. So she said, excuse me, you said you're cooking Thanksgiving dinner for us? And she just stood there for a moment, kind of in disbelief, and she stared at this woman that she'd never seen her before, and she's just swept up to the idea of having this hearty Thanksgiving meal with her two boys, and she didn't question it. She says, that sounds great. And she knew her prayer was answered. She had prayed to God that he would somehow provide for her family. And entering this apartment, she immediately felt at home. And she said she remembers what the apartment looked like. It was dimly lit, right? The table, it was loaded with food. And she says it was just incredibly sweet. She says the little lady, she struggled to carve the turkey, so she helped her carve it. But she says this woman's presence was like electricity. You know, and she had a sparkle in her eyes and food, man, there was lots of it. And that loneliness she had in her heart, that sense of despair she had as she was making her way up to that cold, empty apartment with her two boys, it was gone. She felt from this woman what she described as unconditional love. And she wrote in her diary, she kept the diary, she says, it was one of the most special evenings that she ever spent in her entire life. She said, why would a stranger, why would somebody open their doors to me? You know, it was just an eccentric neighbor. So she left. And when they left, the woman actually gave them each a gift. It was a ton of leftovers. So she gave them, a little old lady couldn't eat it. She said, the woman said, I had enough food for a week, right? So her kids had plenty of food to eat. And then Heidi suddenly felt, I don't know, life was worthwhile, that she was a good mother after all, that this was, I don't know, just a great miracle. So the next day, she was reflecting on this. She came into an even bigger surprise. It's funny how life changes, right? She gathered all those containers and she put them in her container. She went and run down to the first floor and go back in and give them to the old lady. And she knocked on the door and she knocked again. Nope, the lady didn't answer. So she went around. She looked in the window of this little old lady's house who she just had dinner with 8 hours, 10 hours ago. And the room was completely empty. It was dark. There was not one piece of furniture there. No dining room table where they ate at. No couch. No kitchen. And she says it's a memory that to this day causes goosebumps. She realized the woman had known things that she could never have known about her. Such as the fact that she loved potato salad, that she worked in a doctor's office. Yet for some reason while it was happening, Heidi didn't even question it. She just enjoyed the moment. She enjoyed, I don't know, the experience and shock and confused over this. She immediately went to the apartment complex supervisor. And she says, could you tell me where the lady in, you know, apartment 10A went, you know, on the first floor here? And the guy looked at her and said, that apartment, ma'am, has been vacant for, I don't know, 10, 12 weeks now. Nobody's in that apartment. She says, no, you must not understood me. It's the one three floors below me. I'm on the third floor. She's in the bottom floor there. I had Thanksgiving dinner with her last night. And when the guy told her, I'm sorry, this is impossible. He thought she was nuts. And who could blame him? She knew what happened. She knew a miracle had transpired. That night, God intervened. That night, her life had been changed. So she believes maybe she entertained or was entertained by an angel. And what she ended up doing as a result of this, and this is how God always brings good out of situations, she started a service called Angels Assistance for single women and takes care of them, especially those in need, just like she was that fateful day. So what a miracle, right? But it made me also just reflect on what Scripture tells us. It's Hebrews 13, verse 2. And Scripture tells us, right? You never know. It says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have been entertained by angels without even realizing it. St. Faustina did the same thing, feeding the poor in her community. And one day they ran out of food and a beggar came, cold, barefoot, it was raining out, and she showed mercy to him. She had nothing, but she scrounged up whatever little she could find after having cleaned up all the mess and was exhausted from the day. And Jesus stood up after eating that meal. The beggar stood up after eating that meal and converted. He revealed his true presence as Jesus Christ. And he says, I've come down from my throne to taste the mercy at your table. So be aware that this Thanksgiving, you have an opportunity to show charity or mercy to somebody, to feed someone who's hungry, to give, then do it. Also, you never know when somebody crosses your path, whether or not it may be an angel in disguise, as Hebrews 13:2 tells us. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I'll be praying for you. God bless you.